Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me.
Nothing like some Public Enemy, and certainly that one is just right on point. Although Flavor Flav was talking about 911 in general, but of course we were referring to it as of this day, that some are looking at in terms of, you know, just such a horrendous day. And I mean, I was listening to some of the reports today and some of the radio and other things, and it's just amazing, but wow, it just helps you to get so much more clarity about what's really going on. Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. What's really going on, family? Well, I can tell you, I know many of you already know, we're in a state of emergency. Yep, we did something here in Philly today to start kicking off the idea of being in a state of emergency. We're talking about the Black community. Here in Philadelphia, woo-wee, you know, very soon we're going to talk with our brother, New World, and he oftentimes talk about New York and how Negroes in New York operate or don't. Well, as I told him, it's the same thing wherever you go, all over the country. And so now we're going to tune in and really observe a lot of this in such a way that we can really identify it. And so I've come up with some new concepts and some other kinds of terminologies. Now, of course, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad used to often say, no more Negro stuff. And we know what he meant when he said Negro. Well, that's kind of what we mean also, and we're going to say it like that. Now, I have two areas. Negroitis is one. You got to get rid of Negroitis. And the other is Negrodom. Right, Negrodom. You know, like other kinds of domes. Well, Negrodoms. And it's like, you know, dumb Negroes. That's what it really comes down to. And so as we observe very carefully now these modes of operations in our communities, we also look to see how we're going to diffuse this stuff. Because best believe, if we don't do that, we will continue to keep just going through these cycles. We should now know this after 100 years, seeing the Honorable Marcus Garvey, seeing what he went through, seeing how some people even called him like a buffoon and things of that nature because he did not, you know, meet up to certain standards of the system, and how various people were used to attack him. Well, the same thing is going on today. Well, we've come up with some other ideas that we're going to introduce to our people. And I'm just going to give you a hint, because, see, we understand the mode of operandums now, meaning isolate people, don't support them so they'll get discouraged, or so they'll, like, you know, feel like, wow, you know, what's the use or whatever, whatever. And then I even had some conversations today with a younger brother, and I tried to really, I conveyed to him how if you're saying the same thing that people have been saying for 50 years or more, and you're not being innovative and really, you know, trying to be creative, then in reality, you're really part of the problem, okay? If you're not using fundamentals, or you are using fundamentals, but at the same time, you're not really doing anything that advances anything, for real, then you're part of the problem. So you're going to hear us talk more about innovative and creative kinds of things, using the Nguzu Saba more than just a Kwanzaa time. Anyway, I want to thank everyone that did come out today to support and to be a part of our first kind of boots on the ground initiative, and focusing specifically on for Philly what we call the state and future of Black Philly. I dare say there's some other cities that need to be looking at the state and the future of it too. Well, we're kicking it off here. And next week is part two. We'll be at our regular monthly spot, Spirit First Foods. And we've invited for next week the sheriff, who is Rochelle Bilal. And I like what she did, okay? I'm not into the political thing like that, even though I'm definitely making sure we know how it operates, know who's in it, know who's for us, against us, about us, or not. We're going to know that kind of stuff for those who do involve themselves in that. But the one thing I like about Rochelle Bilal is that she went against the machine. The Democratic Party did not want her to win, and they did nothing to support her, and she beat the heck out of them anyway, which shows that you can, in fact, run in, under that ticket and still not be a part of their hookup like that. And she demonstrated that. The same thing with a sister here named Tracy Gordon. She is now the Register of Wills, and also we also invited her, because when you talk about gentrification, if you don't understand how this stuff operates, I'm telling you, and at this stage of the game, it's no excuse why we should not know how some stuff is actually operating. So between the Sheriff Bilal, Rochelle Bilal, and Register of Will, Tracy Gore, we're going to get some clearer insight into, one, how particularly elders have lost their property, particularly ones who ended up deceased. We're going to also know how to better safeguard our own property and estates and so forth and so on. What is a living will? Things of that nature. But we're going to also talk with Sheriff Bilal about some other things. Now, you've heard us talk about gentrification for at least 10 years. And only a few that we've been able to see have come up with any kind of plan whereby the community, not individuals, but the community can benefit. Well, we come up with a plan, and we're going to introduce that now, in addition to filing some suits against these various cities. And again, we'll tell you about that later. See, the one thing that we realize now is that people talk a good game. No, it ain't even a good game, to be honest with you. They just talk. And as long as they can keep things moving kind of the way that it is, they're okay. But when you start bringing in stuff that's different, oh, my gosh, you talk about creating more enemies. So what we're beginning to now see very clearly is, and asking this question, who in your community, Black community, wherever you are, is advocating self-determination? And not just advocating, really supporting something that is self-determined. And what do I mean by self-determined? Independent. Meaning it is, and I'm not just talking about businesses. I'm talking about institutions. I'm talking about centers. I'm talking about programs that are independent. Not waiting for a grant. Not trying to be noted they're focusing on being creative themselves or being, okay, say you do get a grant or whatever. How is it being flipped into something independent? See, because folks kind of lost the scope of that reality. Anyway, we're going to talk more about that and how to do that to a greater extent and why we should. Okay, so we're going to talk about that tonight. Also, definitely another big thanks to those folks that came out last week. New York family, love you, love you. We're going to other cities to build because we need to get with similar and like-minded folk, and that's what we're looking to do. We're going to talk to our brother, as I said. He came in from New York today. Big ups to our brother, New World Warrior. Appreciate him much, much, much. And he has a message for Black veterans. Now, we've been talking for, a good 5 years about Black veterans, you know, and can tell you that the ones that we've encountered, most of them in this city, are so busy trying to get into the political arena or having the politicksters be in their pockets, you know, that they ain't trying to do nothing independent, for real, for real. And so essentially have become a part of the problem. But we love our people, and we're going to struggle regardless, meaning, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. We're going to work with whomever we can work with, or at least try to. And those that we can't, well, hey, can't win them all. Not trying to. But the point being, we've created some mechanisms, and family, wait till you hear what some of them are. For those people who always want to just be naysayers and throw shade and all of that, we're coming after you. If you don't have a plan that makes some sense, if you're not doing something in the community that you're in or part of or whatever, I mean, realistically, to uplift your community, then guess what? We're going to define for the 21st century what treason is, what betrayal is in real time. Because, again, if you can't show that you're trying to do something that's self-determined or help some entity that is, what does that tell you? To help continue to keep the system moving the way that it is, for the most part. So we're going to start examining some of that to a greater extent. With that said, we are going to talk tonight about civil rights. Not really. We're going to talk about human rights, our human rights. What is that and why is that? Now, be real clear, family. We are not talking about this in the same manner that most people are talking about it for two reasons. One, we have a 400-plus year historical situation to deal with. So when we talk about human rights, it is not in the same context. We're going to break it down for you what we're talking about with the Recharge Genocide 21 and why it's so scary for most people. A lot of people don't want to deal with it. And it's because of the conditioning and the Willie Lynch chip that folks are embracing to the degree of their own destruction. Because here's the reality. When the stuff hits the fan again, and it will, be it COVID, DOVID, or whatever, where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? Where are you going to turn? What do you have in place, or what will there be in place for you to have an alternative? Because that's what's getting ready to go down. And guess what? I dare somebody to come to me talking some stuff about, you know, they want to join up and all of that, or, you know, on a certain level. Because guess what? Folks have had enough time and have seen enough to know what's going on. And again, you know, we'll never turn our backs on our people. But at the same time, you know, they're not going to let people still act like they don't get what's going on and then want to try to play us after we do all the work. Because that's what they do a lot of time. They wait until a lot of work is done and they want to jump in. Oh, yeah, I'm with you. No, Negro. Sorry. That game is now over. Okay. Anyway, we are going to talk tonight to several people. One, again, I mentioned my brother. And, again, I'm so happy to meet some real folk. I mean, some real folk, you know. And we're going to build with those. Big shout out to Brother Hakeem. Thank you so much for all that you do, but always coming through for us. And Brother Wali, again, Mama Gail. Mama Gail, happy Earth Day to you. And we celebrated her today. You know, gave her some flowers because, we've been taking flowers to funerals. Okay, them people can't really understand that at that point. So we're giving you flowers right now. The other thing today was so important. Our brother Baba Yao, always, again, you know, it's a wonderful thing to connect with real black men. And by the way, October 16th, we're doing a nationwide salute to real black men. Our brothers in support of MWM and brothers who are in the community doing real work, we want to salute you on October 16th, which, of course, is the anniversary day of the Million Man March. But we're going to salute you on that day. So, sisters, you can contact us to coordinate for your city because this is nationwide. You know, if you don't want to do something jointly in your city, because we're going to do Zoom and live stream, but you can at least submit the name of the serious, strong black man in your community that's doing some real work, because we want to, you know, say their names to salute them on that day. So we'll tell you more about that a little later on. Anyway, moving right along. Again, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about civil rights, the difference between civil rights and the reality of why we are now saying, yo, you are going to deal with the fact that we are declaring our human right. That's a powerful position, powerful, if you know what you're doing, and we do. So we're going to talk about that. And with that said, again, I met another really, really incredible black man. Love my black men, y'all, and have no problems with highlighting them. We're going to talk to Mr. Najee tonight, who is, of course, the minister for the Lost Foundation in New York, right? We have a brother here, my brother Ishmael. He's the minister here in Philly, the Lost Foundation. So this is what we're doing. We're literally connecting with groups and organizations all over the country who get it. And again, we're not trying to debate. We're not trying to step on nobody's toes. We're not trying to get nobody's business. We're just trying to meet on the things that we can meet on and get this stuff done without a whole lot of unnecessary nonsense. And that's what we're doing, okay? So when I talked to Minister Najee, joined us in New York last week, again, a small group, but you know what? That's how the Million Woman March got started. One person, y'all. Whatever hallucination somebody else be putting out there, I can guarantee you. And it wasn't no female in Atlanta, which I now hear about. She's calling herself the mother or something. But anyway, the point being, Brother Najee and also another brother from the Lost Foundation joined us last week. We're thankful that they took the time. Of course, Sister Keisha came out, and our brother Ashe SJ was with us. You know, again, always big shout out to my son and Hotep. It's always good to be able to know that at least, you know, one of your children get it. So he's always on point. And again, you know, Brother Shamari, we want to thank him for coming out today and also for our Marcus Garvey piece. And, you know, if I missed the, Brother Shabaka, okay. So if I missed anyone, I'm sure I'll think of it a little later on. But at any rate, we appreciate all of you all the time because the ones I just mentioned, they are all the time doing things, not just at an event, not just at a conference, all the time. In the community, by the way. Okay, so again, very shortly, we're going to speak with Aminja Najee, and we're going to just kind of get some updates on a little bit of history, but also updates on what's going on with the Lost Foundation and why the position of the Afro descendants is so important in this time. Right now, note, as I have often said, MWM and what we're building, and by the way, I did announce in New York that, oh, we're building a nation also. Oh, yeah, I said it. We knew that. I mean, this was always the plan, by the way. But let me tell you how scary people are when it comes to black women. Ooh, wow. You know, I'm writing about that one. I had no idea. But anyway, we're going to talk with our brother. And we're going to also talk with Brother Shep. Oh, yeah, he came out last week, too. Thank you, Brother Shep. Jericho was in the house, but, of course, the original Black Panthers was represented. But Brother Shep's going to be joining us shortly. And I'm going to talk with him about a couple of things. One, of course, next week he's going to be in Philly. There's some things going on for one of the political prisoners here in Philly, Barbara Russell and William Schultz. Also, by the way, tomorrow there is an event for Mumia, which I'll tell you about. I talked to Sister Pam earlier, and she gave me the 411 on that. Okay. Let me see. There's a couple of other things we're going to bring your attention, but we're going to get ready to go to our live wire now, live line, rather. And we're going to welcome, this is the first time that this brother has been on our program, but it certainly will be the last, that you can believe, because with all of the information and knowledge that this brother has to share, again, for some, the words or the ideas of human rights might be new. And so we're going to take our time, and we're going to break this stuff down to everyone. We know that, again, that Willie Lynch chip or whatever it is that people want to call it, has people a little apprehensive about hear when they hear new stuff or things they're not familiar with, they can get turned off by it. Well, we know about that too, and we got some plans of how we're going to address that also. Okay, so again, we're going to tell you more about our human rights concerts. That's one of the things that Brother Shep and I will be working on, and others. We are activating the artivist again. And again, we're going to be starting in probably December, but officially in January, February, we're going to be doing national concerts, Black Human Rights concerts, justice concerts. So we know how to get this information circulated and more palatable for some, okay? Anyway, let's go to our live line, and let's welcome our brother Najee in the house. And let's see, there we go. All right. Greetings, Brother Najee. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm fine, ma'am. I'm fine. It's Dewan Madium.
All right. I know that's right. Well, thank you again for taking the time to join us tonight and certainly for bringing us, you know, one of several, if not lessons, certainly information sessions. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you. And first, if you'd be so kind to just share a little bit about, you know, you, who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Dewan Madyun. I am a minister in the Lost Foundation of Islam. At the same time, I am a senator in the newly formed Afro-descendant nation. And I've been on the battlefield fighting for justice for our people ever since I was 20 years old. And I'm 64 now.
All right.
And I've been in different cities, Chicago, Los Angeles, Boston, Atlanta, and New York twice. I've been getting around spreading the news and fighting for the cause of our people and to raise our people up so that we could all be on the same page in terms of unity, reparation, and self-determination.
Yes.
All right.
Now,
all right.
Yes, ma'am. So in this struggle of reparation and in the struggle for self-determination and human rights, I would just like to, first of all, thank Sister Empress Chai for allowing us to be on here to discuss these important matters, because today our objective is to unify our people, to inform our people, and to unite our people. And when I say unite, we're talking about a sustainable kind of unity, a unity that would bring about the desired effect that we want. And the effect that we want is we want total and complete reparations for all of our people. This is what Mr. Silas Muhammad's program is all about. So to begin, I would like to say that Mr. Silas Muhammad, back in the 1990s, hired a group of attorneys, renowned attorneys, to go out into the international arena to study to see whether or not if he had a legal, legitimate claim for reparations. After these attorneys, these black attorneys, went out into the international arena and studied for a while, they came back with the finding to let Mr. Silas Muhammad know that we found something in the United Nations by which we could hang our hats on. And that information that they gave Mr. Silas Muhammad is Article 27 of the ICCPR covenant that was ratified by all nations, including the United States. And that's the path that Mr. Silas Muhammad has taken to get reparations for all of us. So, and all of our problems that we're having, and there are many, we have found one element by which we could solve all of our problems at one time, whether you are Muslim, Christian, whether you don't have a religion at all, whether you believe in God at all, it doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that you are a black man and a black woman who descended from people who were brought over here to be made slaves. And because of that, Mr. Silas Muhammad went forth in the United Nations first to give reparations just for so-called African-Americans here in America. But in his journey into the United Nations back in the 90s, what he found that there were other people in the diaspora who were also fighting to get reparations and justice for their people in Central America, South America, and the Caribbean. So because these different groups all had the same issue that they were bringing before the human rights body, they met a gentleman by the name of Professor Bengoa, who gathered together all of these leaders. It was 19 of them, one from the United States. That was Mr. Silas Muhammad, and engendered forums by which these leaders can meet, thus an identity by which we can call ourselves. Because it must be understood, my beloved, and that's this. Our people that was brought over here have went through a system of ethnocide. And through system of ethnocide, everything that we once were was destroyed. And what that left us is it put us in the position to forcibly assimilate into the dominant culture, which is America. And as a result of that, we found ourselves a confused and a lost people. Case in point, when we came out of slavery through the Emancipation Proclamation, so-called freedom. We was called Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
After so many years of being called Negroes, our next identity was colored people.
Mm-hmm.
After so many years of being called colored people, our next identity was Black Americans. After so many years of being called Black Americans, we were called Afro-Americans in the 60s. That lasted for a little bit. After Afro-Americans, then you just had American Blacks, then you had African-Americans, which is where we are now. And also some of our people call themselves American. So what is this indicative of? It's indicative of the fact that we don't know who we are, and we have allowed other people to define us. Hence the reason Mr. Silas Muhammad and those 19 leaders, I'm sorry, those 18 leaders sat down and UN-sponsored forums to discuss an identity for ourselves. Now, here's why that's important. Because as long as we don't have an identity, then who are they going to pay reparations to? Are they going to pay it to Black people that call themselves Americans, or Black people that call themselves Afro-Americans, or Black people that call themselves Blacks? So in order to get reparations and to get the full weight of it, it was imperative that all of us throughout the diaspora are identified with one identity. And these leaders in the UN discussed among themselves for at least 7 days, what name are we going to be identified by? It certainly won't be African-American. It certainly won't be Negroes. And it certainly won't be American Blacks. We need a name that will distinguish us from people who did not go through what we went through. So because most of the people in the diaspora, was particularly Central and South America, had already been using this term, Afro-descendant, they were hell-bent on using that as an identity. Mr. Silas Muhammad forwarded the name Lost Found People. They didn't like that. Mr. Silas Muhammad, he liked it. So they argued back and forth for at least 1 week until Mr. Silas Muhammad acquiesced and said, okay, I accept the name Afro-descendant, but here's what we must understand. Our people in the diaspora that were using the term Afro-descendant, it had no definition to it. So Mr. Silas Muhammad offered up a definition to it, and I'd like to just state that definition very briefly.
Sure.
Afro-descendants refers to people who descended from people who were forcibly dispossessed from their homeland in Africa, who were transported to the Americas in the slavery diaspora for the purposes of enslavement, were subjected to slavery. Number four, were subjected to forced mixed breeding and rape. Number five, experienced through force the loss of mother's tongue, culture, and religion. And number six, have experienced racial discrimination due to lost ties from their original identity. So this fits just about, this fits all of us who was brought from Africa over here in the diaspora. When they, the leaders, accepted that definition, they took the name Afro-descendant back to the Human Rights Department and let the Human Rights Department know that this is what we will be identified forever as Afro-descendant. So no more will we take any other name that other people give us. We name ourselves Afro-descendants with this definition. And they took this name, the Human Rights Body, and they recorded it in their records. Ethnogenesis, that's what that means. Ethnogenesis, which actually means, in essence, a new people born, a new people coming forth. So here we are today with that identity as Afro-descendants, and it has made all of us, our people in Central America, South America, the Caribbean, and North America, one people, 250 million, one people, and that's Afro-descendants. Here's the strategy of that. With Afro-descendants, what that has done, when our people legally declare themselves as Afro-descendants, because we have the right to do that now, and that right is protected by the international law of human rights. When we declare ourselves Afro-descendant, it gave us a right the God-given right to self-determination. And because it gave us that right to self-determination, the Afro-descendants in America have decided to form a nation out of ourselves. And out of that nation that we decided to form, we established a constitution. And the very primary ingredients of this constitution is truth, righteousness, freedom, justice, and equality for all. And out of that constitution was born the judicial branch, the legislative branch, and the executive branch. So what we have here is a skeleton government that's in existence right here in the belly of the beast, and America is aware of it. But she can't do anything about it because she knows we're exercising our human rights because we have declared ourselves Afro-descendants now. And this is the message that we want to get to our people, that we now have the power within our hands to free ourselves from white America if we but claim our new identity, which is Afro-descendants. Because under this, we can solve all of our problems and bring the full weight of reparations against America and not have America trying to deceive us and give us pennies and popcorn as it relates to reparations, because right now she's playing games with our people. She knows us trying to approach her system of government. She knows she's not going to give it to us. The H.R. 40 bill has been in the House of Representatives for 30 years, which shows you the disrespect that they have for even addressing our needs for reparations. But she cannot do anything with us, my beloved, if we unite, galvanize our people into accepting their new identity, Afro-descendant people, whether they be a part of the new Afro-descendant government or not. Just the fact that you legally declare yourself an Afro-descendant, it will bring the weight of that nation. 250 million people crying out at one time demanding that this government pay reparations to us for the crime of humanity, destroying our rights as humans. I'm going to say this, beloved, then I'm going to turn it back over to you. When you take a people, and you take their language, their culture, their religion, and their whole way of life from them, what you've done, you've subtracted what made them human. And when you subtract that from them, you made them subhuman. So because we are subhumans, Mr. Cyrus Muhammad have reestablished our human rights through being Afro-descended, because the very first right we declared, and that's the right to self-determination, the right to rename ourselves and not let anybody else name us. So we didn't ask white America, can we be Afro-descendants? We didn't ask white America, can we form our own government? We decided that because we exercised our right as a human being to self-determination. And African-Americans don't have that right because African-Americans are not in possession of their human rights. They can't speak language. They can't speak their mother's tongue. They can't practice their own religion or their own culture or customs. We are merely mimicking white America. And that's what we're trying to get our people out of, to show them that it's time for us to get reparation in the full weight of it, but we can't blame the white man anymore now that we got the power to just say, I refuse to be an African-American. I want to be an Afro-descendant. I declare myself an Afro-descendant, my own identity, because we're the only people in the world that don't have our rights as humans. We can't speak none of our languages, none of our cultures or religions, but every other race of people can. So that makes us unique. So this is the path that we're on as it relates to reparations. We're going to get it, but I guarantee you we won't get it as African Americans. We won't get it as American blacks, and we won't get it as Negroes or colored people. But if we unite on the Afro-descendant nation, and it ain't got nothing to do with religion. It's got everything to do with self-determination and reparations. That's where we are right now today. A government exists.
Wow. I love it. And I mean, again, we are taking our time, family. And again, we're not just going to talk to each other. We're literally going into our community. That's what we did today. That's what we did last week. That's what we're asking some of you to do who want to do something. We have to be in the communities. That's kind of a little different from what you've been seeing over the years. But we're connecting with brothers and sisters who have been doing this work. Now, brother, our brother just mentioned something that I have to also highlight, and it is this. The word self-determination. Now, for those of you who observe Nguza Saba or Kwanzaa or something, you know, of that nature, you're familiar with that word, self-determination, Kujichangalia. Well, years ago, there was another black man, once again, that most people know little about, if any at all, and his name, of course, is Dr. Robert Brock. So even before the Nguza Saba came into existence, even though Kwanzaa became popular, we had a black man who was, in fact, a lawyer, and his primary area was constitutional law, and he created a committee called the Self-Determination Committee, and they did tremendous amount of work. I just began to research Dr. Robert Brock's work. His filings, he filed all kinds of stuff in dealing with constitutional law and certainly focusing on reparations and, of course, self-determination. So we're not using these terminologies just in a very minor sense. Again, self-determination has become a principle that many have heard about in terms of Kwanzaa. But when talking about it when it comes to law, now we're getting somewhere. This is a legal term and apparatus. So it's not just a cliche. It's not just a definition. It's not just the principle as in being, you know, something that you just do, you know, in a certain kind of way. It is a tool, an instrument. It's a actual element in law. Now, no, I'm not coming from the position like some have heard about, you know, the black law book and all of that. I don't give a damn. I really don't. And by the way, for those who do not know, yes, I do have paralegal training. I just never told anybody that because it wasn't the business at the time. And I always like to see how do people deal with people who they think don't know stuff. But it's okay. I digress. The point is this, that we have to now hear what's being said, family, and open up, because the enemy, they're using this stuff against us.
Yes, ma'am.
So we have to realize what tools can we use to our advantage, right? And it's not to say that you believe in this or you believe in that. No, we're saying from a strategic standpoint, what can we do? Now with this, I'm going to go back to our brother because I just want to elaborate on the issue again of self-determination and Dr. Robert Brock. Of course, again, one of the other giants who also, from what I was told, was a mentor to Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. Again, Dr. Yusuf Clay or Clay. If you ever read any of his books, I mean, you talk about international law. I mean, brilliant. And from what I was told, he was also a close ally to the Honorable Salas Muhammad. So, again, we're not just telling you about things that is happening right now. We're connecting the black dots. And, again, for those who, and I just had a recent critic, for lack of a better word, why are people doing same old stuff that has been done, and why are we trying to use strategies? And I'm like, what? What are you doing? For real, for our people here, what are you doing? What's your plan? Show it to me, because if you got one, I'll support it. right?
Yes, ma'am.
And it's viable. And are you going to do the work? I mean, the real gritty work that it's going to take to get us to this point. Because some have done that. The Honorable Salas Muhammad has done that in the manner and in the way that he saw to do it. It may not be the way somebody else see to do it, but that's okay. Do your part. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do some stuff. I hope it's a little different for somebody else because that's just the way I like to do stuff. But to bring it all together at some point is important. So that's why we're connecting to the legacy of Malcolm X. We're connecting to the legacy of Queen Mother Moore. We're connecting to the legacy
yes,
of Hallie House. We're connecting to the
yes,
legacy of Paul Robeson, of William Patterson.
That's right. That's right.
You understand? So this is not just some, you know, pie out the sky kind of thing. We've done the work and are still doing the work. And now we're going to see who's going to step up and do whatever
that's right.
it is that they're
that's
supposed
right.
to do. That's what's real. That's what we're really going to see now. Because all this talk about we need justice, we need freedom, we need reparations. Yeah, we do. But what's your plan to get it? How about that? How about that? So,
yeah, that's
Leslie, and we're going to get ready to go to our lines and hear what our family is saying. Again, you know, there's many ways or many routes in doing this, but it all focuses on the same enemy. It all focuses on making certain that we honor our ancestors and respect
that's
ourselves
right.
and make certain that the future for the generations to come is definitely nowhere near what we're dealing with now. Okay? And the way this
yes,
thing
ma'am.
Is going, if we don't take the action that we're supposed to be taking now, and I'm not talking about a whole lot of conversation. I'm talking about we was in the streets today. We was in the hood today. We was in the park today talking to people, giving them information.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay?
That's right.
So you know, again, this is not just about a lot of Zoom and you know, conference calls and conferences and all of that. We're in our community. Next week, we had a black business, and we're doing sessions at that black business with the sheriff of Philadelphia and the register of wills so that we can hear specifically, because we already have a plan, by the way. We already have a plan, but we want to hear what they're saying, and we want other people to hear specifically what those roles are, what are they supposed to be doing, how can we counter gentrification, et cetera. So anyway, back to our brother. So let's do this. We have a couple of callers. Caller, you ready for this, my brother? We got a couple of callers, got some comments, questions. Is that okay with you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to ask. Okay, caller, you are at 8081. Your line is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Yes, peace. Am I on?
If you're 8081, you are.
Peace, sister. I wish you the best. It's good I'm hearing from you. One of my concerns that came to mind was a person. In particular, say a white person, for instance.
Uh-huh.
Born in Africa.
Uh-huh.
Travel to America. Get passport.
Uh-huh.
Get citizenship here. And now they call themselves
right.
an Afro-descendant. How can we
right.
prevent this type of and con theft of our reparations and our
oh.
rights of what our people went through?
Oh, brother, I love
that?
You so much. What? Let me look. You know what? Baba Kwame Ture used to often say, "We must not steal our ancestors." And from that, my response or what I came from that as he spoke those words is, "Our ancestors ain't raised no fools." Okay. Now,
yeah,
what that means is
right.
to answer your question. To answer your question, I'm gonna go to our brother and let him give his comment. So, again, we're working jointly, meaning, as I have conveyed to our brother and others, there's different approaches and different strategies, and folks need to do what they feel they need to do. When you read our information, meaning the We Charge Genocide 21/Black Human Rights Movement or the Movement for Black Human Rights,
everything, for the most part, everything you see will say this, Black/African. Because we know, because see, I have people in South Africa. So I know that there are white people who call themselves African because they were born in Africa, right? So we already know that. But what we know is when they see that word black, and that's why I keep that word there, there's a very specific reason. While in some circles they, I don't want to call myself black. Well, that's fine. That's okay. You ain't got to do that. You have your own strategy. Do your strategy. I understand very clearly what I'm saying. Okay, so I said, so our stuff says Black/African. White people can't do that. You understand what I'm saying? They can't claim on nothing on that. Nothing. We've tried it. Nothing. They back up quickly. They want nothing to do with that because they know they can't. You see, that's why there's a power. That's why the system, for those who are, you know, anti that word, there is a symbolic and also a metaphysical reality to certain things. This system knows that. And while we have to deal with nationality, best believe these people are dealing with colors all across the board and certain other dynamics. And we know that. So we combine these things. So I'm be quiet. Brother Najee, you got it.
Yes, ma'am. Dewan Madhune. Minister Najee, he's in Washington, D.C.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
I'm
anyway,
sorry. Oh, okay.
That's yeah, okay, my beloved sister. It's that's all right, my beloved.
Where did I get Najee from? But that's what Minister Ismael told me initially.
Oh, no. Well, it did go to Minister Najee in Washington initially.
I got
and then
you.
Minister
okay.
Najee, because I'm the minister in New York, he forwarded it
you.
To me.
I got you.
All
I
right.
understand. It was the protocol piece. Okay. I got you now.
Yeah.
All right. Get ready. I got you. Okay.
All
okay.
Right. So to answer our beloved brother's question, the Afro-descendant, the newly formed Afro-descendant nation have in it a citizenship committee. And in that committee, they study and do research, investigate to see if anyone that's coming claiming to be an Afro-descendant, then they must fit the six definitions of Afro-descendant that I just read here. And if they don't fit that, then they can't legally claim themselves an Afro-descendant. Thereby, their claim to be an Afro-descendant is nullified. Not even a black African coming from Africa can come and claim to be an Afro-descendant. This is the very reason why Afro-descendant established that definition, what defines us. Because we know that when we get reparations, because it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when
That's
we
right.
get reparations.
That's right.
Everybody's going to be trying to jump on the bandwagon and say, hey, I'm an African-American.
Right. Yep.
Hey, I deserve a... So in order to stop everybody from exploiting our situation,
That's
Mr.
Right.
Silas Muhammad was sagacious enough to give the term Afro-descendant a definition. And that definition, I believe I just read to you, 6 points. So the Citizenship Committee will see to it that if you're not Afro-descendant, then there's no way you could be a part of this newly formed government unless you fit these six definitions. Submitted.
Okay, brother, is that okay? Did you kind of get your answer? My brother, you still
yes,
there?
Sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I got it.
I'm sorry,
thanks.
Brother. What
Thank
is your
much.
Name? What is your name? If I may.
Naeem, sister. Naeem.
Naeem. Okay. Thank you, brother Naeem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And,
go ahead. You had another question or comment?
No, I will go. Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to also, there's something you mentioned about strategy. And I would like to shed a little light on Mrs. Phyllis Muhammad's strategy in terms of Afro-descendant of practicing self-determination. What we looked at was this. We see our people in the condition that we're in right now. So we reason mm-hmm. within ourselves that if the Caucasian government gave us reparation in the state that we're in now, what would actually take place, he would love to give us reparation in this state because what he would do, he would end up getting it right back through his mm-hmm. own system because mm-hmm. we don't produce nothing mm-hmm. for ourselves. We are
right.
consumers because we have nothing that we produce of our own. He will get all of that money back in a matter of years. Our
That's
strategy
right.
is we don't want him to get it back. We want Mr. Silas Muhammad's demand for reparations. It's not just mm-hmm. money. We want money, too. But we want land.
Yeah.
And
That's
we want
right.
America to assist
mm-hmm.
us with everything we need for the next 50 to 60 years until we can go for ourselves. So that means we want mm-hmm. her to help us cultivate our new land. With modern
mm-hmm,
sewer
mm-hmm.
systems, with bridges, tunnels, modern apartment buildings and beautiful homes, roads, downtowns, everything we need to exist and survive off of as a nation of people to take care of our people, we want America to give us that. And it's only
mm-hmm,
befitting
mm-hmm.
that she does that since she got 400 years of free labor out of our people.
Mm-hmm,
so if it wasn't
mm-hmm.
for the labor, the free labor of our ancestors, America would be the greatest power on earth today. So
right.
since we gave her her start, then it's only befitting that she give us our start to be a government, a nation. And another point about this strategy is this. We are aware that our children are walking into a trap if they are stuck into this system of forced assimilation. So to avoid the pitfalls of this society, then we
mm-hmm.
want to establish our own government, our own society, by which we can leave our children a government so that they can inherit a government and not be subjected to the injustices and the unfairness that this government seems to be giving out to our people ever since we've been here in America. We don't have to
mm-hmm.
worry about the psychological impacts of little black girls wanting to be white girls. Loving
That's
little
right.
white dolls instead of black dolls, hating themselves,
mm-hmm.
we can begin to correct the psychological problems of slavery in our own land. We can't do
That's
it
right.
in America because America, through her media and her forces, she have our people turned upside down now. She got our people thinking that it's okay to be, and actually it's okay to just, to be, for a man to think it's okay to be with another man or a woman to be with another woman, getting married.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to do that, that's their business. But we want our society where we don't want to promote that. We want to
mm-hmm.
promote a better people among our people. We want our people to be a better people. And we believe that in 6 to 7 generations outside of America in our own land, that we could produce a better, civilized, well-mannered ex-slave, descendant of ex-slaves. That's what we believe. So we want to keep the money in our own circle and because we want to be able to take that money and transfer it to our own money to black people on our money. We want to put our black heroes on our money, whoever our black heroes may be. Whoever we decide as a group of people, whether you're a Muslim, Christian, or don't have a religion at all, we sit down among ourselves and we say, okay, let's put Harriet Tubman on a $100 bill. So be it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to dig into the earth and get out the raw materials of that earth and trade with China, Japan, or other sovereign nations. We feel like as long as we're in America, we will forever be the underlings of America. We will never get the real respect of a human being
mm-hmm.
that other human beings have. As long as we're in America.
Okay.
Just recently, President Biden referred to his top advisor, one of his top advisors as a boy. Disrespect. This is the kind of disrespect we will forever be subjected to as long as we're here in America. Because money, good homes, that's not going to get us respect in America. We'll never be equal to America or to any race of people, as long as we are without our rights to be a human being, we don't have our language, our culture, our way of life. And the Afro-descendant nation, this gives us a platform to establish our own culture and create our own language and our own way of life, thereby putting us on equal level with every human being on the face of the planet Earth.
All right. Ashe. All right, family, we have one more caller. And thank you, my brother. We have one more caller.
And then we're going to hopefully have Brother Shep. Brother Shep, if you're here, if you hear me, I'm not seeing you in queue, so you need to press 1 because I'm waiting for you to come in, and then we'll be ready to start bringing you in as well. But at any rate, caller, we're going to go to caller at 6402. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day. 6402. Okay.
I thought I recognized the number. I thought that was Brother Mike, as I thought it was, but maybe not. All right, let's go to 9241. 9241, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day. 9241. Okay, I don't know what's going on. People are not, they pushing one, but I'm not hearing anything. All right, well, we're going to go back to our brother. And,
yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Let me just try one more time. Maybe I pushed something wrong. I'm going to try one more time. Caller at 6403, can you hear me? Okay, I don't know what's going on there. All right. All right, so we're going to go back to our brother, and maybe I'm doing something I don't know. But, okay, moving right along. So with that said, it's one thing I wanted to point out, which is very important. And, again, we are taking our time, family. We are not just going to be throwing stuff out there to you. We're going to break it down, okay, because you deserve it. You deserve the best of everything, and we're going to bring it to you as best as we can. With that said, why is it so important that we focus on human rights? Now, for the record, I actually consider myself something else. However, for this particular argument and struggle, I'm going along with the program. Just like the brother just said, the time came when they had a meeting and the Honorable Thomas Muhammad, you know, decided, well, look, you know, I'm going to go along with this at this point. Because sometimes you need to do that, you know. So I'm saying that,
yes,
you know, I'm just letting people be clear about my position on certain things. But I recognize that certain things have to be done right now. With that said, why is it so important that we obtain our full, the embracing and the observance and the recognition of our full human rights? Here's why. And for those of you that study Black's Law Dictionary, I already know what you're going to say. Well, the definition of human is yeah, we know. We know. Okay, but most that come with that argument, when you ask them, what are you doing to really help our people get out of this mess? Anyway, that's a rhetorical question. So the reason why we are raising this point is, did you notice that one of the things that this system, this government did was to make certain they declared or made a statement or action that said we were 3/5 of a human being. Now, so obviously it was important to diminish that. They made that point clear in their documents. So while we were called Negro or called colored, they did not define that stuff the way that they did, you're not even fully human. That was law for them. That was critical to make it clear that the reason why we can do this to y'all the way we do it, with no remorse, with no whatever, is because you're not human. So a group of people who won't even address that, the mere fact that what is considered your God-given right, any entity that won't try to deal with that, somebody trying to strip that from them, guess what? You're not viewed in a very good manner. Disrespect puts it mildly. You see, so this is not just about the surface stuff. Some of this stuff is extremely, extremely important for now and the future. There has to be statements made. And all of you, in some way, shape, fashion, or form, are functioning off of some statements that was made by somebody at some point in time. And some of you value those things quite a bit. So now, what kinds of things, what statements are we laying for the future? And in the present, by the way. What statements, what positions, and how, to what degree are we making them? Are we just talking to each other? Or are we focusing on international, world communities, governments, et cetera, to get our point across? With that said, when Brother Shep does come in, he's going to read a letter or a statement of solidarity for us for the We Trust Genocide 21 that comes from France. It comes from the pen of our sister Julia Wright. And for those of you who are familiar with her work, she does do work in connection to the United Nations. She also has done and do a lot of tremendous work when it comes to fighting for political prisoners. She also spoke at the original Million Woman March. She is a well-known journalist in not just in France but in Europe as an author. She just released her father's book, his latest book, and of course her father is Richard Wright. My point is to get international support on your campaigns, your endeavors is important in the big scheme of things. So. Why, again, are we saying it's important that we focus on the struggle, the demand that we are not three-fifths? We have to say these things. We know we're not. But how's the world perceiving us? Where is the statement that's being made to the world that these people have attempted to do this, and here we are, the descendants of the people that they kidnapped, tortured, murdered, raped, and so forth. We're saying the jig is up, you are all caught, and guess what? You owe us now. This is what we have to say. So with that said, we're going to close out with our brother. And again, family, I'm just saying, if you have a plan, let us know. We want to support any viable, intelligent plan. For real. I mean, that's what time it is. You know, some of us are very confident in what we do. So we don't have to try to throw shade on somebody else. Because we know what we're doing, or at least trying to know. Okay, so we don't have a problem with working with other folks. We don't have a problem. And we're demonstrating that in this conversation and as we proceed. We respect the work of others. It may not be the same exact things that we want to do or are going to do, but we're not dismissing it. So
yes, ma'am.
We have one more possible caller. You're at 9241. That's the last digit of your number. 9241, your line is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear
Hello.
You.
Hello.
We
Finally.
Can hear you.
I've been
Excuse
trying
me?
To. This is Brother Shep.
Oh, okay, Brother Shep. All right, good.
I've been trying
well,
to get through,
right.
And I could. I've been trying to get through for the last, half an hour.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, we got you now. So you stay right there. We're going to wrap up with our brother, and then we're going to come right to you. So stay right there. All right, my brother. So what we're going to do is get your closing comments for tonight. And do this for me so that I have the correct spelling of your name, because now that I know that you're not Minister Najee, please spell your name for me.
Yes, ma'am. It's D-A-W-A-N-M-A-D-Y-U-N.
Okay. Got you. All right. We're ready now. So, okay. Got it. Wow. Okay. I've never heard this name. Okay. Can I ask you what is the meaning?
Yes, ma'am. The name Dewan means endurance, and Madyun means under obligation to work for Islam.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you.
So I feel
that
I fit my character.
Yes.
Who and what I am. So I chose the name based on what makes me up as a person.
I got you. Okay. Good, thanks. Thank you for that. All right, so we're going to go to you for your closing comments, and you got the mic.
Thank you, my beloved. I just wanted to say that Mr. Silas Muhammad has put out a call for 50 black leaders to unite, because he recognized that all of our people don't actually want the same things. But if we unite our leaders together in a 9-day conference, or I should say a meeting that will take place for at least 8 to 9 days through virtual, you know, Zoom meetings and things like that, to discuss unity, to discuss reparations, to discuss self-determination, and to discuss what is the best way, how can we unite as leaders to make sure that all of our people get justice, freedom, justice, and equality, reparations. That's what he's calling for these black leaders to do, to sit down with him, and let's talk about this, because we need to determine which way. Because, see, we want to put an end to this talk about this, all this gripe about slavery. So we either got two choices. We either going to deal with self-determination and reparations, or ethnocide and forced assimilation. So Mr. Silas Muhammad wants these leaders to determine, what do you want? Which direction do you want for our people? Because for sure, 144,000 of us have planned on leaving America to establish our government, or I should say to continue the establishment of our government outside of America into a land among our own people. And that's for sure that's going to happen. So I just want our people to know that Mr. Silas Muhammad is doing everything he can to connect with other leaders in our communities so that we can just all be on the same page in terms of where we're going to take our people. What do we want for our people? What should we act for? Because America is going to pay reparations. That's no doubt about that.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, I thank you so very much for sharing the information, and we definitely will have you, you know, coming on periodically to give more information, more updates, and to help get folks ready, because we have some major steps that we're getting ready to take. Of course, we're going to bring in Brother Shep in a few moments to talk about one of our issues, or one of our platforms in terms of We Charge Genocide 21, is the release of our political prisoners. That has to be of reparatory justice, particularly as we know and can prove that COINTELPRO played a major role, if not the role, in our political prisoners being incarcerated. So that has to be on the table. But my brother, please make certain that I get an invitation, because for whatever reason, and I'm going to tell this story come next year for our 25-year anniversary of the Million Woman March, I've watched very carefully many of the groups, organizations in the U.S., and it's very interesting to me that the largest gathering in the world of any women has been totally pushed to the side, ignored, excluded from most things. And I listen and watch, you know, groups very carefully that talk about we and unity and black women even, but yet when it comes time to bring some real black women to the table, we don't get the call or the invitation. So I know that's going to change now because the Lost Foundation, since we have met here in Philadelphia, Minister Ishmael has, anytime I called him, he was there. So I know it's getting ready to change.
Yes,
but I'm just saying there's some hypocrites out here, and we need to make that clear because I'm not connected to no corporations. Okay, and so it's very interesting that the women, the black women who are asked to participate, they are all connected to the enemy. That's right, I said it. Okay, so now. All right, my brother, I thank you again, and I thank Minister Ishmael for making certain that we were able to connect, and I am definitely looking forward to us moving forward in the future and onward to victory.
Oh, without a doubt, my beloved, without a doubt. Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Yes, give thanks. All right, family, we are going to move forward now, and with that, we are getting ready to talk with our brother Shep. It's in the house. There's an event coming up in Philly next week, and Brother Shep will be coming to Philly for that event. And I don't know if you have the information for the event that's happening tomorrow. Sister Pam just gave it to me a little while ago, Brother Shep. There's a program for Mumia tomorrow. But at any rate, Brother Shep is in the house. Thank you, Brother Shep, for continuing to struggle to get on the line tonight. So we got you now.
Thank you. Yeah, this was a little adventure, but now I know how to do it. I got it down.
All right. Give thanks. So before we go into the upcoming event, of course, and I don't want to use the word event, really. This is an ongoing fight to free, of course, Baba Russell Malone Schultz and all of our political prisoners. So before we get that information that's specifically referencing him for next week, tell our folks a little bit about you. I mean, again, we are bringing folks to our platform that, you know, we have a certain level of respect for, and, you know, they do a lot of work. They do a lot of work and have been doing a lot of work. With that said, please share with our family a little bit about you.
Yes, no problem at all. And I want to thank you for having me on to get this important information out. And, yeah, I'm a little bit about who I am. But after I do that, I'd just like to touch real quickly on the previous topic and ask you how it relates to our political prisoners.
Yeah.
But most people call me Brother Shep. I'm a native of New York, Bronx in particular. I'm a veteran of the original Black Panther Party, working primarily out of Harlem Bronx branch, where I joined in the early 70s. And that was actually during the same time as I went to Hunter College for free, because our elders fought for us to have free tuition and open admissions. And so I was blessed. I tell people because I had Professor John Henry Clark, I had Marimba Ani, I had Dr. Ben, I had Luis Falcone. I had all these great teachers, master teachers when I was in Hunter. At the same time, I was in the Black Panther Party. So I tell people I was blessed during that period, from 73 until 1980, when I got all that information and knowledge and wisdom. That said, continue to do the work. You mentioned Mamiya. Mamiya actually had one film called Long Distance Revolutionary. And that's basically what we need to do. We don't need to have sprinters, just do 100-yard dashes and being done.
That's right.
But we need to go into the long haul. Revolution is a process, and we've been doing it since the time that they tried to put us on the boats. Before we even got to the castles, we were resisting. and we continue to resist, and we will resist until we are free. So that said, the two events that I'm going to talk about, actually I'm going to name three different ones. They're all taking place in New York and in Philly. So we're actually going to be going back and forth down that turnpike, you know, for the next 2 months to attend these events dealing with our freedom fighters. Of particular concern is our elders. We have freedom fighters that have been locked up for 45 years and some 50 years. They're in their late 70s, they're in their 80s, and they need to come home. There's no reason for them not to be home. Internationally, which is, I think, connected to what we were talking about the previous topic, the whole issue in terms of bringing our struggle internationally is pertinent in terms of establishing any nationhood that we might envision or we want to have. We were never asked if we wanted to be citizens of America when we were so-called emancipated. We were not asked if we wanted to have our own nation, which any colonized people has the right to do, to establish their own nation.
Right.
And we weren't really asked if we wanted to repatriate and go back to the motherland. You know, we could look at Liberia and stuff like that, but that wasn't really what Garvey was talking about, or Malcolm, or Elijah, or anyone else when we talk about going back to the motherland. We talk about on our terms. So those three things are actually part of the universal rights, human rights documents that this country signed on to, and understanding that international law supersedes national law. In other words, once they sign a document, then all the laws here are underneath that, which is why they refuse to say that they are political prisoners and prisoners of war in the United States, because if they admitted that, then they'd be subject to repatriation or to releasing our freedom fighters who took up arms legitimately and legally for our liberation and our freedom. So that's why the U.S. won't do that. So we bring all that out internationally next week. And I don't know how much time we have, but I'm going to be talking real quick. Hope we can get a couple of questions in. Next Saturday in Philly, in West Philly in particular, we're going to have what's called a hip-hop curb fest for political prisoners and prisoners of war. I'm going to give my email, which will actually be easier for people to get the links for the three events I'm talking about than to try to read them over the phone. It'll be easy just to contact me via my email, and I can send you all the information and put you in the network as well. We're going to have basically DJs on different streets throughout West Philly. It's going to be divided up into 9 sections. 8 of them will be geographical, and the other one will be for our ancestors, those who died in prison, our freedom fighters who were killed by either medical neglect or just outright assassination. So we're going to definitely pay tribute to them. And then we'll have geographically in each area, there'll be a section for the Southeast, which will probably include, well, we'll include Mutulu Shakur, Kamal Siddiqui, Imam Jamil Alameen, formerly known as H. Rap Brown, all of them from Atlanta, or at least their cases are. So they would be in that region. Sundiata coming out of Jersey, Reverend Joy Powell from New York, obviously they would be in the Northeast. So we're going to split that up. We have 39 prisoners that we're going to represent. You'll get cards explaining their cases in each one of those areas. I'll actually be in Malcolm X Park at the main station, and I'll be cooking there. We're going to have food. So I'll be on the grill, give out to the community. So it's information, music, and raising the consciousness of the people with food, too. So that's going to be on September the 18th, which is next Saturday. The next day in New York, as I mentioned, we're doing Philly, New York. We have our Freedom Fighters contingent. So we're going to be marching through Harlem, which we do every year. Normally it's with the African American Day Parade, but again, they decided they didn't want to have the parade because of the pandemic, But we marched last year and we marching this year because our freedom fighters are more important, as far as we're concerned, than doing it virtually. Our people need to see us on the streets. So we'll be out there representing all of our freedom fighters, not just our political prisoners, but Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, Marcus Garvey, all of them. Any of our heroes and sheroes are going to be represented in that contingent. And again, hit my email and you'll get the information. Secondly, in Philly, the 55th anniversary of the Black Panther Party will be observed. 4 days, October 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. That'll be in Philadelphia. I'll pass on the information if you contact me. The first day will be tribute from Fred Hampton. And then we'll have a whole schedule of 4 days. And there will be a concert on the 16th, which really was going to take place last weekend, but it rained, or it might have been the weekend before. So that's going to be moved up, and that'll be the city also. Last but not least, also in October, will be the International Tribunal to charge the United States with violations of human rights. That'll be another 4 days. Most of it will be held at the Malcolm X, Dr. Betty Shabazz Center in Northeast Harlem. I don't call it Washington Heights, it's Harlem. And that's where we'll be held at. Again, that's going to be the 4 days of October 21st through the 24th. So putting all that into perspective, we need to bring them home. I'm going to open up for questions just to, again, touch on the previous topic, reparations, repatriation, nationhood, all those things need to be protected. You know, we had a difference of opinion for Black Liberation said that we needed to destroy the United States. RNA wanted to set up their own five state nations. And we said, well, you can't set up a nation next to this one. The U.S. has to go. And so that's where the Black Liberation came out. And we all joined forces with that. And we still believe that America must go. And it is. It's dying every day. They're trying to put on last this effort of strength. But it's that capitalism is their day. Last but not least, revolutionary Pan-Africanism. We got to begin to look at that. Our brothers and sisters across the globe, and they won't respect us until we do here in this country. As the brother said, in terms of diaspora, we have to come together, and we have to be able to show that we are together as a nation. There was a small community in a town called Mineral, Virginia, and actually Dr. Marimba Ani had took some of us there one time. It was called Nyusa Land. You got to the gate, you had to hand in your American dollars, and you got those Harriet Tubman dollar bills, so those Nat Turner dollar bills. And, you know, you got that currency. You couldn't buy anything on that land without our own currency. So those are just things that we can talk about and look at. And my email is panthershepcat@aol.com. That's Panther, P-A-N-T-H-E-R, Shep, S-H-E-P, Cat, C-A-T, at AOL.com. That's Panther, Shep, Cat, at AOL.com. Easy to remember because I'm a panther. I'm Brother Shep, and a panther is a cat. So it's Panther Shep Cat at AOL.com. Hit me up. I'll put you in the network, and I'll send you all the links for these events that I just mentioned.
Right. Okay. All right, family. All right, so this is what we're going to do next, and we still have Minister with us as well. So, my brother, your mic is still open. If you have a comment or a question for Brother Shep, please feel free to bring it. And, family, if you have something you want to share or comment or you want, you have a question or what have you, you can press 1 now, and we will certainly take your call as well. Okay? So, Minister, did you have a question or comment? Okay, I thought he was still in queue, but maybe not. All right, then let's do this. Let's go to caller. You are at 6403. 6403. Give me a minute, and I will open up your mic. Okay, your mic is open, 6403. Welcome to this segment of New Day. Okay, we're having some problems with that number, 6403. Okay, let's try another one. Let's see. Okay, doesn't seem like there's any other questions. All right, let me just check. Are there any other questions or comments? Then you need to press 1, family, if you do. And then we'll be more than happy to bring you in. Okay, doesn't seem like there's any more questions or comments. All right, Brother Shep, let me ask you this question. So Sister Pam, there was a possibility that she was going to call in tonight, but of course there's some things going on that I'm not at privy to mention at the moment. You'll hear about it very soon. But Brother Shep, did you know about tomorrow's event for Mumia?
Yes, it's called Running Down the Walls.
Yes.
And actually,
okay,
it's taking place in 7 different cities.
Okay.
In Philly, and Austin, Texas, and New York City, and Brooklyn. You know, 7 different cities. You'll get that information, too, if you contact me. I'll send out the flyer for all 7 of them. The only one that's
okay
going to be virtual is in L.A.
Okay, great, very good. All right. And before you leave, we're going to make sure you give that information again. Okay, we do have a couple of questions or comments. Okay, so let's go to caller at 0513. 0513, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day. Oh, come on. What is going on with this? 0513. Your mic
How you
is
doing,
open.
Sister? How you doing? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now.
This is your brother Ishmael. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Ishmael. How are you?
I just wanted to call. I'm fine, sister. I just want to call and thank you for the work you're doing. And it was a pleasure, to hear that strong brother from New York. That's my brother. And I was just enjoying y'all conversation, and I tell you, I think the information is very important, and it's pertinent to our people that we look at it at all levels. And I'm listening intently to my brother that you have on now. I want to focus in on that as well. So make sure you get all this information so when I communicate with you,
yes,
I can be well informed, okay?
Absolutely, my brother. And you know what I said to you earlier, and I told the minister as well. We connected now, so, there ain't no turning back.
You got it now, right? You got it correct. I was listening. He said, wait a minute, man. I got to get this straight because he got to answer the minister now, G.
Yeah, I got it now. I understand the chain of command, so I got it. All right, my brother. Well, thank you. And we'll talk later on this week.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Yes, peace to you. All right, family. Yeah, that was our minister Ishmael here in Philly of the Lost Foundation. Okay, we're going to go to caller at 7090. 7090, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Good day. Peace and love, sis. Veronica Nikki.
Great. How's my mama Nikki? How you doing, sweetheart?
Oh, awesome.
Oh,
well.
Oh, yes.
I hope we rise in power.
Yeah, you know it. We're going to. We got to.
Talk about the week out, week pledge, where the people are rising. Health freedom advocates everywhere are now saying, I refuse to co-parent with the government. I refuse to let my child be a guinea pig for Big Pharma. I refuse to mask my child knowing that it is not safe nor effective in preventing the spread of COVID-19 or the crack drug they're selling. I refuse to be coerced or bullied into giving my child an experimental C injection that has no long-term safety studies, especially when the risk of C is COVID is in children is low. I refuse to allow my child or myself to be harmed for the sake of profit to the pharmaceutical industry and the illusion of safety for others. I refuse to sit quietly as our constitutional rights and freedoms are slowly removed. I refuse to be an experiment and to have my job and livelihood threatened if I don't comply with these mandates. I refuse to be bullied into compliance by unions, administration, and legislators who don't respect my right for choice. Enough is enough. As a parent, it is my job to protect my children, and I will not comply with these mandates. As a free American, it is my African, it is my right to choose how to protect myself and stay healthy. I am taking a stand against any policies and procedures I know will do more harm than good. I refuse to comply. I pledge to be a part of a peaceful non-compliance by keeping my children home or staying home myself the week of September 13th as an act of protest against mandates. It can be a personal day or whatever, and I signed it. That is my pledge.
Oh, thank you.
We as a people, I don't understand when the government decides they want to help us so much that they have Panthers locked down, BLA locked down, yet they don't have the Klan locked down. I'm not understanding it.
I see.
You know? So I don't know when the government decided that they were going to help us, that they didn't pay some rent and mortgages and have us pay for freedom schools. Independent
That's
black
right.
school.
That's right.
So
that's what we're talking about.
We have
about.
To understand
yes.
what's really going on.
That's right.
So I wanted to share that.
Thank you. Thank you. And when you get a chance, please send that to me because I'm interested in signing it too.
I sent it to you.
Okay. Good. Thanks. All right, my sister. Much love and respect to you.
All right.
Did you want to say peace to Brother Shep?
I love you, Brother Shep.
Brother Shep, you there?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Did we
oh,
lose
he did, Spirit. He know.
Oh, snap. I guess we lost him. He'll get back with us. All right.
All right.
Good day. All right. Peace
All
to
right.
you.
Stay strong and keep it. On the move.
Hey, you know what?
And it's not
Don't
over
you know?
Until we win.
That's right. It
not
ain't
over until they
over.
Home. That's right.
That's that right. All right.
All
let's
right.
Get
and some people say rest in peace. I say rise in power.
That's right.
To.
Oh, wait a minute. Brother Shep is back. Hold on 1 minute. Yell at him real quick. I think that's him. Hold on. Yeah, Brother Shep.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got you. Yeah, sister.
Okay.
Just want to
yeah,
get
I got
quick.
Lost for a second. I
okay.
put the phone
yeah.
down. It went off.
So okay.
I just called back in.
Sister just wanted to greet you real quick.
Peace, Sister Ronnie.
Yeah.
I hear you. Oh, can I just say one thing real quick?
Sure.
In relationship to the international thing? There's another way we can get folks out of prison, but at this point, there are no black/African nations that will cooperate with that.
Hey.
I know Ghana will grant dual citizenship to our people
right.
here, but they will
right.
not get involved in any political prisoner deals.
Wow.
So we can actually have someone that has dual citizenship in an African nation be extradited to that country and be free. Other prisoners have done that. Sylvia Bernardini
right.
was sent to Italy, and she got free.
I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, there's a Japanese political prisoner that was here accused of bombing things, and he was released and sent back to Japan, Brother Kiki. And there was even a white national from, I think it was at the time in Serbia, that bombed the Grand Central Station. And he got released and sent back to Europe because he had dual citizenship. So that's something that our brothers and sisters in the motherland and South America and the Caribbean, they need to stop sucking up the United States and think about our people.
I love that dual citizenship. So, Brother Shep, just so you'll know, we haven't conveyed it yet, but we do have a plan of action to do something similar to that. So I'm glad to hear that what you just said, because it lets me know that I can share with you one of the things that we're working on with the Recharge Genocide. And it's very similar to that, but it has another historical significance. So later on this week, I'll share with you how we're getting ready to proceed with connecting with a couple of the governments. And it's
okay, well, I will see you next weekend one way or another anyway, because I'll be in Philly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Yep, we be together. Okay. All right, my brother. Thank you, Mama Mickey.
Yes, I was also curious to, I'm noticing that all the paraphernalia that they're servicing, you know, to our children as far as costumes and so forth. The Black Panther was one of the largest selling movie making in the industry, in the history of movies. However, they have not put out any of those costumes, but they put out everything else. And I'm just saying this because if in any way we could bring a light to the real Panthers are not in Wakanda, as the jazz brother sings, you know, We need to let people know, and I look forward to the day when we can see them all on the parkway, you know, a million strong and so forth. And until then, you know, we must continue, and I hope those the real costumes come up and we have some pictures of our actual Panthers, you know, for this, because that would be a nightmare for the people that want to keep us down.
I got something for you, Sister Ronnie, that you're going to love. When that first movie came out, we actually were in movie theaters with information
yes,
on
too.
Our political prisoners, and we filmed interviews with folks coming out, letting them know, do you know there are real Panthers in prison? And
we have
that interview, and the film is going to come out by the end of this year, because the next Panther movie is due to come out next year. So we're going to have our film out. It's called Wakanda in Harlem, because that's where we filmed. We filmed at the Apollo. We filmed there. So we're ready to move. We're about to send that film out to respond to all the things that should have been in that film that weren't.
Exactly.
And, you know, and just dealing with that whole situation, how it can relate to, again, Pan-African Revolution, and the fact that whole your brain meme or whatever that metal was that they had, it relates to everything that they're taking out of national resources from the motherland. It's the same thing.
It's the truth. Yes.
And folks who really want to look, there's a cartoon out, The Black Panther, and they didn't follow the script from that cartoon, they tried to hide it. Because in that cartoon, the Black Panther kicks Captain America's butt. They throw him in a hole. And when the CIA comes, they chop their heads off and put them on poles. And it's like, no, we can't have this. Disney wouldn't allow that to happen. So they changed the whole script around. But we're going to deal with that, you know, with our own film. We got to make our own films. We have to do that.
We must, because that's all similar to Roots. When they start taking some things out and making it the new one, Daquee did tell me, and I ended up on Linden Boulevard telling people about the real Panthers. You know, I didn't know all the details, but she just gave the word, and I said it made sense to me. So I went out to Linden Plaza in Brooklyn. Yes. I thank you.
All right. Thank you, my sister. All right, we're going to go to caller. Let's see where we're going to now. What happened to
I just saw a number. Okay, well, let me try. Somebody just jumped off real quick, so I got to go back up for a minute. Okay, we're trying 8521. Hold on. Let me do this first. Okay, 8521, we're coming to you, and your mic is open.
So Revolutionary Love, Brother Shep, this is Minerva out of New Jersey. I just want to just welcome you to New Day Liberation, Resurrection and Liberation. It's
right
great
on.
To hear your voice on the live line. It's always great to be standing next to you in the struggle for the liberation of our people. I just want to thank you and commend you for all the work, hard work, and dedication for carrying on a legacy of our political prisoners, prisoners of war, and the liberation of our people. I can't thank you enough, and I'm just glad the dots are connecting, and you are now in tune and in connection with New Day of Resurrection and Liberation, and also the Universal Million Women's Movement. It's a pleasure having you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, sister.
Once again, thank you to my president general, always connecting the dots with the necessary people that's out here on the ground doing the work, and Brother Shep is indeed one of them. Thank you, Brother
that's
Shep.
That's right.
Peace and love. Stay safe.
Right on, sis. Thank you for the encouragement.
Right on.
Yes,
take care.
Yes,
one love
yes.
to you.
All right, my sister.
All right, moving right along, we're going to go to 6403. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day. 6403, your mic is open. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know what's going on with some of these connections here, but we're missing a couple of folks. Okay. All right, family. Well, we're going to get ready to close out. I was waiting for our brother also, Brother New World. I'm trying to find you in queue. I'm not seeing you. Oh, wait a minute. I think I do now. All right.
So we're going to get ready to hear that special message from our brother, New World. But before we do, we're going to close out with Brother Shep. Brother Shep, give that information one more time where folks can contact you to get more information.
Okay. It's PantherShepPat@AOL.com. That's PantherShepPat. PantherShepPat@AOL.com. And once you hit me up, you'll get more than enough information. Like, for instance, you'll get about what's going on tomorrow with Attica. The brothers that survive will be in Foley Square having a rally. So you would get that information. And everything else that's going on, we have over 8,000 people in our email network. It's a private network. Once you get in it, no one gets your email. It's all done by hand. It's not a listserv, but it's all community organizers, activists, revolutionaries, and folks fighting for our liberation and self-determination. So that's PantherShepCat@AOL.com.
All right, my brother. Good, thanks, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. We have an event on Saturday, but you're going to be here for a couple of days, so I'm sure to catch, one of the activities, and we will move this thing forward.
Right on.
All right, my brother. Good things. Have a blessed day, weekend, and keep it moving.
All right. Yeah, I got a meeting to go to right now.
I know that's right.
Yeah, we got all people right on the West Coast, and they, got to deal with them too.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why, because people say, well, why do you do your program so late? Because we have people that's like 3 hours ahead of us, so we try to, but it's all good, it's all good.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, my brother. Thank you. And we'll talk later on this week. All right. Peace to you. All right, family. Yes, indeed. All right. So we just got finished talking with Brother Shep, family, and, of course, another powerful program, and now we're going to really wrap it up, meaning, you know, for some folk, 911, some other things. You know, I played coming on tonight, Flavor Flav and Public Enemy talking about 911 as a joke. Well, okay, it's not necessarily a joke. Of course, the way they were talking about it is if you try to call 911 in your neighborhood, you might end up with some other problems. But the fact remains that a lot of people I've heard in these reports in the past couple of days, you know, how they, this is the 20th year of such and such. And I'm like, wow, you know, black folks have been going through hell for 400 plus years. Ongoingly, all kinds of horrendous stuff. Right now, as we said, the black community is in a state of emergency because if we don't move some things very soon, you are going to see not only what I call the new Negro, and by the way, for Philadelphia, I call them the new Philadelphia Negro, you know, because W.E.B. Du Bois wrote about the Philadelphia Negro. So I kind of just captured a little bit of that, and I'm writing this book called The New Philadelphia Negro. And boy, oh boy, do I have some stories to tell. These people and the ones who are culturally, call themselves culturally astute or consciously, oh gosh, anyway. So one of the things that we wanted to do today was to give a special message to our black veterans, because there was a time when our black veterans were really, really significant and important when it came to black liberation, okay? And, I should have asked Brother Shep earlier about the Black Liberation Army because, you know, several of our Black Liberation Army members were, in fact, formerly in one of the so-called, you know, services of this country. Again, to be able to use those skills, those capabilities to help our people, which is what folks should be going when they go to college. And they go to college and get all this so-called training and information, what part of that is really going back into the community? Anyway, that's for another topic. But I asked our brother to give a message today to the veterans, to the black veterans in particular, because we do have a component for the We Charge Genocide that is specifically for black veterans, because we respect and honor them. When this country didn't and doesn't, still doesn't. And so we had hoped that they would be a vital role. They would play a vital role in the Recharge Genocide 21 project. And we still hope that, and we're still going to still reach out. Well, I can tell you, though, some of the groups that are so-called veteran groups, as the brother said earlier, some folks, they don't not only call themselves African-American, they call themselves Americans. Well, kind of saw a little bit of that today at the event that we were at. Some of the attitudes that I saw from some of the black folks that I approached were really kind of interesting. I mean, I'm used to it at this stage of the game, but again, I'm going to point it out. At any rate, we're going to bring our brother in, New World Warrior, and get from him a special message. Because, see, this is recorded, so we can always send it out to other people, okay? And we suggest that you do, because we love our veterans. We really do. Oh, by the way, before we bring in our brother, I asked the question to one of the veterans today, well, what is your position about the murder of Lavina Johnson? A young, let's see, was she 20 years old, 21? I can't remember the exact age, but they did all kinds of stuff to her while she was serving in Iraq. I believe it was. They even put cement in her vagina. And her father, of course, you know, got the body and did an independent autopsy, and they found that in the vagina. They did a job on that young sister. And so I was just curious as to what veterans groups, organizations or whatever, felt of any need to ask questions about the murder of Private First Class Lavina Johnson. And so one of the brothers said to me, well, you know, and no, I don't know. I'm asking. But I didn't get any answer. But yet when the Latino woman was harassed or something, I forget what exactly happened, I mean, it hit all the papers. And the response to that, when I mentioned that earlier today, was, well, that's because they stick together. So wait a minute. You are a black veterans group. There's been a murder of a young sister who is a veteran. And the best you can tell me is other people stick together? Anyway, here we go. Let me open up this mic, and we're going to talk to our brother, New World Warrior. Hey, brother, how you be tonight? Uh-oh, I'm not hearing you. Hold on one minute. Let me try to do this again. Hold on. Maybe.
Let me try something real quick. No. Hold on 1 minute. Something's not happening. Okay.
I'm not sure what is going on, but are you? Well, let me see if this is you. 7526. I don't believe it's you though. 7526. Okay, who's that? 7526.
That's me.
Okay. Hello? Nope. So that, yeah. Yep. I got you, brother. Nope. That's not who I wanted. Okay. So stay right there. Okay. I am not trying. I'm not pick. Okay. It should be 75. Wait a minute. 7526. Hold on. Okay. Nope. I know who that is. So what is going on? Okay, I'm not sure what is happening with our brother, so I'm going to try calling him myself. How about that? Since we're having some problem with the line, so let me pull it up. Let's see. Okay, we're going to try it this way.
Okay. Hello, New World.
Oh, we got you.
This is New World.
Oh. Yes, we got you now, brother.
Okay. Ooh, so, how you be this night?
I'm alive, sister, and that's saying a whole lot under these circumstances.
I know that's right. So you got a feel of what we call filthy Delphia. I told you, you were talking about some of the stuff that goes on in New York. Did you get a sense of some of what's going on in this city?
Sis, I'm quite clear, but please understand, we must pick our battles. When you speak truth about these Negroes, they get more vengeful than white people.
I don't care.
Did you hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want to use bad language, but normally I do, so I'm going to clean this up as best I can. But white folks are Mississippi. Their pet niggers are far worse. Did you hear me?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm saying that, and I need you to take that to heart. As bad as white people are, because of our melanin content, let me quote Malcolm. Malcolm said, black folks, people who look like you and I, they will ask Martha, we sick?
Yes.
And that's deeper than you even have the ability to understand.
So they're sick. They really are.
Yeah, we know.
They're sicker than the masses are.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to get you to understand what I see going on. That's why I don't go on media on the air, because I understand. Think football just for a second, because I'm trying to help you all understand something strategically. If you're on the 1 yard line and your team decides to have a huddle, you with me so far? Okay. If you're on the one line and your team decides to huddle, it is not wise for you to use the stadium PA system mic in your huddle. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. That's why I don't deal with ball games.
Okay. Well,
I
don't play games.
Well.
Period. But I do understand them quite well.
Right.
But what I'm trying to tell you is, we can't strategize on the air. But I'm going to share this information with you because of how imperative it is.
Okay. But let me just say this, my brother, and it's this.
Go ahead.
Strategies that, see, because I have to function on different levels. I have to do multi stuff. So there's some things that I do on the air, okay? But I have enough experience not to put other information on the air. So I don't do that. Anything that I put on the air, I do that intentionally. I've been doing this program for 14 years straight.
Okay.
So my point is this.
I ain't mad at you. I'm proud.
But my point is this. As you know, I'm going to give you a different scenario than the ball game piece. On that battlefield or in a structure dealing with any type of defense, and particularly when you're dealing with multifaceted layers of it, it's just like you had the Marines, you got the Army, you got the Navy, you got the Air Force. They have different functions. They fight the same battle or the same war, but they have different modes of operations, right?
So with that said,
right, I'm not necessarily the gunnery. I'm not necessarily the infantry. But what I do is communications, which is a vital part for war. And with that said, I'm pretty skillful. And I do things the way I'm relatively skillful.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
When it comes to communications. And so while, again, I value other folks' opinions about certain things. However, because I do what I do and have been doing it for a period of time for a specific reason, I'm good. But anyway, I digress. So let's go to your next.
Not speaking selfishly, sis, but I'm a homeless veteran. I call myself a NATO. I am another nigga America threw away. And they do this like it's normal because they've been able to get away with it. White folks have been taught like black folks have to grin in my face and say thank you for your service when it really don't mean a damn thing.
Well, that's right.
And black folks
that's
do
right.
it too. And that's all I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm by myself out here, okay? I love my people, but my people ain't shit. Most black folks will sell their asses for a dollar and try to get a deal on yours. Okay, I was there at that event you all brought me to today, okay, and I tried to offer up a libation. They sung a church song. They did the Star Spangled Banner. They did a prayer, and I'm saying, okay, I'm an alien among my own damn people. Why the fuck am I here?
Right.
So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I have to protect myself, sis, because I'm all I got. You can't.
Right,
with the truth is, we all we got, but until we tap into it, I'm screwed.
Right.
You feel me? I told you, as I said, I'm going to repeat it. The average black person will sell their asses for a dollar and try to get a deal on yours. I'm a homeless veteran, been one for over 20 years. That's a goddamn felony.
That's right.
But we deal
That's
with it
right.
like it's okay, like it's normal, like it's all right. So how do you make progress with people like that on your team? You feel me? We on the 1 yard line. We the 99 yards behind.
Yes.
I'm understanding something that I'm hoping, but I'm going to do it. Let's get to what you call asked me to do this evening. What I'd like to say to black veterans is I need all of you, not most, not some, but all of you, to become active members of NAVVET. That's the National Association of Black Veterans. Why? Because they treat us differently. White veterans help each other. How do black person act like they scared as hell? They don't help somebody. We are the devil incarnate. I call it the white man's booty bag. And you know, black men, men can't give birth. But the white man has given birth to black folks who are lost as hell. We look in our mirror at aliens. We don't have any idea who we're looking at. You want to start a major war in the black community? Ask black people who they are. You come up with so many damn titles and names and such issues and truth issues and acronyms. It ain't fair. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the Wizard of Oz. You have no heart, no brain, no courage to find our way back home without Google. You're the happiest damn fool on the planet.
Right.
So now, what I'm asking for is to ask people with melanin. Now, that's going to create a whole other set of problems. Okay, people with melanin to become members of NAVVET because they definitely treat us differently, but Puerto Ricans and other funny colored people will sell you out at the drop of a hat for less than nothing. So we have to know this. I hate having these discussions over the air because when you become vengeance, which means vengeance is on the agenda at the top, they will... We hate greater than we love, sis. We really do. We hate greater than we love. We have literally out white folk, and we ain't white. That's the craziest crap I ever heard in my life. But it's the truth. You feel me? So I'm hoping that, let's say, God will touch our hearts. I ain't going with that Jesus foolishness because can't nobody come back and save you who never existed. I just create a whole nother set of problems by saying that. I didn't intend to, but I got to speak truth. If you need BS, you need to go Twitter with Trump. Ooh, I'm sorry, I don't have his number. You might have to Google. BS is not, here's something I learned from Marcus Garvey, and I never met a man a day in my life. He taught me that when you take BS, I'm trying to be as polite as I can, so I'm trying to be politically correct.
I appreciate that.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I get it. I got you, sis. Got you. Okay. Marcus Garvey taught me something very powerful. I need you all to write this down because you all have the attention span of a gnat, and I ain't talking about gnat term. I'm talking about an insect. Write this down. Go get a pencil. I know y'all don't like to write no damn more. So put it somewhere where you can find it again and look at it on a regular basis. Marcus Garvey taught me, as he should have taught you if you didn't get the lesson, take the memo now. When you take BS off of the table, liberation occurs. That's what Europeans have used to stall us forever in the day. And they can take old dirty tips, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 100, 400 years old, and use it on us because we don't score. I'm going to share something with you if you don't mind. May I?
Sure.
Even if you're the best athlete on the field and or the court, I use sports a lot because many of us like football, baseball, basketball, bitching holes, nightclubs, and other stuff. But anyway, even if you're the best athlete on the field and or the court, please never forget the game is won and or lost by the score. Am I lying?
Yep.
No,
correct.
I'm not lying. Okay,
so
the game is winning and losing. Okay, the problem is we think because you can bust a three-pointer from anywhere on the court anytime you like, you can ride the lane, whatever you want to do. Yes, you can. But if you don't keep score, you end up turning to a cat who can't run, dribble, or shoot, preferably most times a white man who can barely see. And you say, what's the score? He goes 80 to nothing, my favorite. Why? Because you chose not to keep score. Now our children have a price to pay that they have no idea or the capability of paying. That's all I'm asking for you, sis. We have to be careful about how you move in the public view. You know what I'm saying?
we must strategize in secret like white folks do. They'll tell you we all in it together, but they won't share 200 years of slavery with us, will they? They won't. And that's all I'm saying to us. We must begin to start to strategize in quiet, in secret, in private. You don't do your strategies, play development in public view. They never have, and they never will. So I'm trying to get us to wake up before it's too late, because they ain't going to give you no whole bunch of shots. They know their time is up. They don't have a love for us. They have a use for us. The problem is most of us are the same way. Now, I'm endangering myself because I live in New York City, one of the sickest places on earth. I've been there 15 years, okay, and have gotten nothing done, and that's with the help of nothing but black people. I don't have any white friends. I don't have any black ones either. I just know a lot of niggas' names. You feel me? This is the problem I'm having. So I'm a member of NAB that's been one for well over a decade, okay? But they're quite confused, okay? Because we believe stuff. I'm going to share something with you, and I hope it ain't too deep for y'all. But the problem with us is we believe too much and know too little about who we are and why the hell God put us here as well as kept us here. Folks want to tell me some old BS they learned in church talking about God bless you. Here's some news for y'all. God has never stopped blessing us. We're the problem. God has never stopped blessing us. The problem is we need to act like it more often, don't we? We're the baddest people on the planet. Problem, we're the only people on the planet who don't know it. We use our gifts to enrich and aggrandize everyone else but ourselves because we want to share. They don't. So they will feed you any bucket of BS that they can come up with because they don't have to tell you the truth, and that's what the problem is. That's why I said what I said earlier. When you take BS off of the table, liberation occurs. Now, if we could ever just step to the truth and stay with it. Matter of fact, let me go a little deeper than that. If you could grab a hold of my eye and learn how to simply become my eye. This is deeper than that. That says they ain't going to never know this. And if they do, they ain't going to live it. So I'm saying something way deeper than most of us know, but if you can just come home, that's all I'm asking you to do, come home. Go back to who the Creator put you, here to be. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm asking. I know it's asking for too much, but I'm going to ask it right now because it may be the only opportunity I get. I'm on my way back to New York. I had a black preacher. I want to call him an Indian preacher, but a black preacher say one day to me, he said, you know, a black man will probably put a bullet in the back of my head. As hard as I fight with black people, as much as I love black people, that's a reality. We don't care about each other, sis. We hate greater than we love.
Yeah.
The European has successfully turned the children of the Most High into servants of Satan willfully. So if a man or a woman or people will lie to themselves, you know good and well, you shouldn't look to them for truth. That's a statement of fact. Our people are so twisted, we don't know who we are. I call us UFOs, unidentified familiar objects. Somebody mentioned that earlier, said we don't know who we are, and they're right. But that, how do we convince our people? Huh? What was that?
Yeah, I said, yeah, that's right.
Right. I said, we don't know who we are. We become UFOs, unidentified familiar objects. Until you can get back to self and understand the value of being who the Creator put you here, because I've learned how valuable black BS is to our people. Okay? I want to use the term African, but I'm using black for now because we go to war over just words. But I understand how white people have used them against us. Because, see, we've learned to hear but not really listen. Because, see, we don't define words. And that's how white people have always picked us up. Because they have fun laughing at the level of stupidity we practice. You understand what I'm saying? And until we can create a way to get beyond that, not around it, get beyond it, because I'm a funk fan from way back as I'm a professional musician. Funkadelics told us a long time ago that we must rise above it all or drown in our own manure. And right now, we pretty much have drowned. Not our drowning, we have drowned. The only thing keeping us afloat is the Creator. And I hope the Creator has more patience than I do because I'm burned out. I tell you, I've been in New York for 15 years. I came there with a complete album. I haven't been able to get a song done. One song, just because they're greater thieves than they are righteous actors. They don't know anything about righteousness. We have outright folk, white folk. Who don't know how stupid that is? I'm trying to stay on this topic of dealing with madness, but I can't until we deal with this sick issue we have of deceit. You feel me?
So
we live
I guess
in
at some
deceit.
Point,
we lie to ourselves.
I guess at some point we will have more discussion about what we're going to do because these analyses are things that we pretty much have been knowing for a while. But what we don't seem to be able to talk more about is what are we proposing to do since we know that this is what's going on. This is the behavior. This is what we've been seeing, and this is what we're going to see, particularly if we do not come up with some antidotes. So, with that said, what are we going to do to resolve some of these issues, some of these maladies, some of these illnesses, or whatever we want to call it? Because this is what's been going on, and like you mentioned, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, so we know that this behavior has been going on for at least, I mean, of course, more than 100 years, but we can document clearly 100 years. So, with that said, what are we going to do about it? That's
then
what my question
also
is.
May I offer just a suggestion? Because, see, I can't make anybody else's mind up for them. What I would suggest is, oh, God, I'm going to get drastic. I hope I don't scare nobody or piss nobody off. Practice Kwanzaa 365 days a year. I've already violated that.
I like that. Yeah.
You damn right. You should like it because that's your salvation. Jesus ain't coming, Negro. How can a being that never existed come back to you? It's not possible. Being that stupid is embarrassing, and it doesn't look good on a resume. So that's my suggestion. Okay?
Well, we're going to talk more about that.
I'm going to New York.
All right, my brother. Well, listen, when you get in, text me. When you get in, text me or call me and let me know that you got in, okay?
I will.
I'll be ready to go.
But I do want to say, let's just do that for starters. Implement Kwanzaa. Hey, implement Kwanzaa 365 days a year. But from what I see, when Kwanzaa comes, we have more fun with Christmas, and we almost deal with Christmas every year. We deal with Kwanzaa with total disdain. I watch black folks deal with Kwanzaa like pulling teeth. Okay? And that's
well,
what
the
next problem
step,
is. That's the sin.
The next step that I would suggest we do is to give some the next step that I see, because I agree, but the thing that I look at doing is giving ways of doing that. And that's what we're going to talk about the next time, because I totally agree. And this is what we've been advocating with some of the things that we're, some of the initiations that we, like, for example, In the Black. In the Black is In the Black 360, 365. So, but we have to give modes of operation. What examples are we going to suggest to our people in terms of things that they can do to make that manifest? Because just saying it, that's not it. We got to give them actual steps. That's the next part. But listen, brother, I hear you've got some stuff going in the background. And again, when you get to New York, please text or call me so I know you got in. All right.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
All right, family. Listen, we're going to close the session out. And before I do, I want to bring everyone's attention. Again, there is an event for Mumia tomorrow. And, of course, actually, I have a commentary that I'm going to pull up. It's one of Mumia's latest commentaries. And so we're going to close out with that. And we want to remind everyone, please contact Brother Shep to get more information about the political prisoners' activities coming up for next weekend. That we'll be focusing on Baba Russell's books. And also you can get more information about other political prisoners from him as well, because he is involved, of course, with the Jericho Movement. Okay. All right, family. So with that said, what we're going to do is close out. And we thank our brother, New World Warrior. We thank you, brother, for all that you do. And we thank all of the folks who joined us tonight. And again, we're going to close out with leaving you with the words of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Let me just cue that up for you. And we'll be back
before you do
that,
may I share a phrase? Okay. That's all I want to say, is that it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken adults. And I pulled that in a phrase I wrote to say, which is worse, a child who's afraid of the dark or an adult who's afraid of the light?
Oh, wow. I love it. All right, my brother.
I love y'all,
family.
Stay strong.
Thank you.
And I hope you don't hate me and kill me, but I don't fear death.
Oh, no, not at all. Love you, Black. All right.
Stay strong, baby.
Peace.
We have another
all
church.
Right.
All
right. Peace to you. All right, family. Again, we thank everyone for tuning in to this segment of New Day. We will be back next week, same time. And, of course, next week we'll be giving you a report on part two of our state of emergency and also what we call the state and future of Black Philly, because it's time to make moves here in Philly to kind of get things moving in a certain kind of way, and we are now on the way to do that. You're going to find some of the kind of interesting, because it's so revealing, to say the least. At any rate, we're going to move forward. And with that said, we're going to leave you, as we oftentimes greet you, in the spirit of mind and Hotep. But remember, there could never be any real peace, meaning Hotep, until there's truly, truly the Ma'akik Epoch is on its way. And that means justice. All right, family, again, we're going to close out with Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Here's the thing. It happened with a suddenness that was stunning. The Taliban, taking town by town, by village, province by province, until Kabul itself toppled, all without virtually firing a shot. The sudden fall of the capital caused the falling of alligator tears of the U.S. political class, many of whom demanded that more troops be sent, ostensibly to prevent imperial embarrassment. Forgotten, of course, was the 20-year project that armed, funded, and allegedly trained an army by the Americans. The U.S. trained troops faced with the prospect of fighting the Taliban melted away faster than ice cream on a summer sidewalk. Athenian intellectual Edward Said, in a 2003 article, taught the following lesson. Every empire, he wrote, however, tells itself and the world that it is unlike all other empires, that its mission is not to plunder and control, but to educate and liberate. These ideas are by no means shared by the people who inhabit that empire. But that hasn't prevented the U.S. propaganda and policy apparatus from imposing its imperial perspective on Americans, whose sources of information about Arabs and Islam are woefully inadequate. The late scholar Edward Said. When the Afghanistan war began, it was called Operation Enduring Freedom. When the Iraq war began, several years later, it was called Operation Iraqi Freedom. You can call it what you will, but is either nation freer? And what endures after decades of war, besides immense loss? From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Imprisoned Radio.